Do you know what it's like to be on the bill and to play for 15 minutes and the only people there to see you are the other bands and their girlfriends?
From Buffalo, New York, watch you don't sunburn your frostbite. It's the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast.
Welcome to the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast, where we talk about the ups, downs, lefts, rights,
and dudes who can't get their shit together
of the Buffalo music scene. I'm Ryan Gurnett, and I'm excited that Sportsman's Tavern has announced their second annual WNY Drummers for Homeless People.
And I'm Elaine DeGeorge, so they're just raising money for themselves?
Basically. On today's episode, we'll be talking with Tim Merrill, co-manager of Woody Tarbox. We'll be talking about how he came to be their manager, what his job entails, and we'll hear an inspiring story about his abuse and recovery.
We'll be covering a full slate of upcoming and previous concerts, and we'll also be playing music from Woody Tarbox, a new track from Ian McCullen, exclusive live music from Tooth and Carmen and Lizzie.
Excellent. But first, we have some announcements. Does the new sound maker have a special announcement sound?
Maybe it does.
Oh. Fucking awesome.
That's cute.
All right. So there's two things I want to talk about real quick. And we are joined with Tim. Hi, Tim.
How's it going?
If you want to chime in on anything, you can feel free to.
Got it.
The first is when I was a young man at the advent of the internet, WNY Music was like the place to go to learn about local music. Starting at 16, there was a huge list of bands, like all the bands you needed to know about, and there was all these different message boards, and it was a great way to meet other bands and find band members, especially, like I said, when I was in Hamburg, not being able to get into the city and I was underage. So yeah, it started around 97, 98. If you go into our archives on allwny.com, you can actually find an episode where we interview Jay Gerlin, the creator of WNYmusic.com. So it's special for me. And about a month ago, Jay posted online that he was looking to get rid of he didn't want to take care of the website anymore. So I know the URL itself has inherent value to it, so I just figured I'd ask how much it would be, and I'd be like, I can throw you $100, and he would say no. But I asked him, and he said he was doing it for free, and he just wanted someone who'd take care of it. And I'm like, well, that's me, certainly. So I have WNYmusic.com now. I consider this an honor. Like, this really means a lot to me that I am able to take that exact URL and do that. That really does. So we are looking for volunteers. We're going to relaunch the website. I'm shooting for January 1st of next year. We'll see. We'll see. I might be too ambitious. But we're looking for anyone who wants to volunteer. It's going to be a site for musicians by local musicians. We're going to have event calendars. We're going to have the big list of bands. We're going to have message boards. We're going to have a blog. So there's a lot of work to be done, and I already have a lot of it ready to go, and I already have a lot of people involved. If you're interested, you can reach out. It's SirWilliamIdol, I-D-O-L, @gmail.com. If you want to reach out for that, that's how you can get involved. And, we all kind of have to do this together. So that's the only way we're going to get anything done.
That's amazing that you, like, took it over.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
I'm so excited about it. I'm so happy he did that. Like, I remember being like, well, if I ran a website like this, this is what I would do. And now, I have the website.
Doing it. That's awesome.
So, we're going to do something fun with it. And then in addition to that, the All WNY Music Award nomination period has begun. Go on the website. You'll find the links. It's all on the front page on allwny.com. You have until December 15th to nominate your favorite artist for any of, like, 23 different categories. We even added new ones for favorite sound person and favorite door person this year. So come talk about your favorite people, show them some support, and then I think starting January 1st, we're going to take the nominees from each category, pare them down to 10 each, and then we'll have everyone vote on them for the awards, which is January 25th at the Evening Star.
All right. Question for you.
Yes.
Are there any rules around who can enter in?
You have to be in the Western New York area, okay. Which, if you don't know what that is, we go off of the one on Wikipedia, which lists like the 9 or so different counties that count. But it needs to be original music, and it needs to be music that's played on the station.
Okay.
So if your music's not yet played on the station and you get nominated, usually we'll reach out to you and say you have a week or two to submit your music, and if you do that, well, you get your nomination up. And that most people are usually really good about that.
I see. That's awesome.
So, and if you're interested in just getting your music up on the All WNY radio stream, just go to the website under radio. There's a place where you can enter your band. You can upload MP3s, and you can be a part of all the music they're running there. It's that easy.
Sweet.
So get your music heard. All right, so before we go on, we're going to take a quick break. We are going to play a track from Carmen and Lizzie. This goes back, oh boy, this goes back about a year. Oh man, I have just bong resin everywhere in my brain. I'm going to say I recorded this in March, maybe, with Carmen and Lizzie. This is a live track, and I believe it's Carry You, and oh man, it goes into a second song. I didn't label this right. This is some live Carmen and Lizzie. Check them out. They're going to be playing with Ian McCune at his EP release party coming up that we're going to be talking about in the next segment. So here's some Carmen and Lizzie on the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com.
So you can be so many worlds I don't want you to see. I'll carry you, carry you, carry you, carry you.
And we are back. That was some exclusive tracks that we recorded here at the Struggling Studios with Carmen and Lizzie on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on All WNY. So we are going to talk about a very limited amount of previous shows. I haven't been to a whole lot lately, but I was at Mohawk Place last night. Good timing. I like that.
Thank you. I'll be the sound person.
So I played bass with Eleni.
Hi.
And it was a lot of fun. And it was a pretty decent crowd for a nice Thursday night there. Also on the bill was, do we know, is it pronounced Derek Gregory? Did we figure that?
Gregoire.
Is that really outside?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, cool. We got that last time. Derek Gregoire played. Nate Marlowe, Sweet Apple, Wolf of Walzer, Eleni, and a band that I'm really excited about called Tooth.
Yes.
It's all uppercase. It's kind of rocky. It's kind of jammy. They actually remind me a lot of Woody Tarbox when I saw them.
I know. They're very good, aren't they?
Yeah, no.
I've never seen them play before.
I never even heard of them before the night of the show. They wowed me. I offered to already put them on another show. Awesome. I was really impressed. So, we usually have 5 minutes for this segment, but I literally have... Eleni, have you been to any shows?
Not many lately.
Nothing. Tim, how about you?
Keeping it pretty low-key the past couple weeks.
Well, Cassidy wanted to come on here and talk about Rufus Wainwright, so I guess we'll give her the chance when she comes in here. Hey, Cassidy's here.
I'm here.
Hi, Cassidy. Play the applause thing, because you're here.
Oh, gosh. I can make the audience clap. I can make your hands clap.
Hopefully you pick the right one. Yeah. All right. So we were just about to play a song. We're talking... Wow, that's a long round of applause.
I maybe didn't deserve that much clapping.
Yeah, yeah. Is there a moderate round of clapping we need? There you go. Something between those two. We just saw my previous shows, and I know you saw Rufus Wainwright at Babeville, and you wanted to tell us about it.
Not only am I an uber geek about Babeville as a venue, like it's a place that holds my heart, and it was, I spent time there as an intern, and I've got that whole Buffalo Ani DeFranco fandom, I definitely fly that flag. So I'm there at the Rufus Wainwright solo concert, and this man whose voice is like butter.
It is.
Is singing in this church, and I'm there by myself. So can I also, the merits of attending a concert solo in a venue that you have such a heartfelt connection to hear this music that's just like, he opens the concert with Art Teacher, which is a Rufus Wainwright staple anyway. But as he's playing this piano intro, that's all it took for me. I was crying. I was just like, geeking out all there by my lonesome. It was beautiful. Every, gay man circa 40 was there in Buffalo. Lots of lots of artsy folk. But as a venue, at one point during the show, Rufus played the... song which he wrote to his mother, which I can't think of the name, but he took the moment to kind of sit back from the piano and just belt it out into the church. And obviously, as a church space, it's built acoustically to that happen. And it was so captivating. I don't have another word for it. And I like discussing Buffalo music as much as the next.
Hey, it was in Buffalo. We get to talk about it.
This is Buffalo music to me, because here it is. Rufus is talking about having met Ani DeFranco with his parents in Canada at some music festival, and he was 8 years old, and he's sitting with her, and they're talking about guitar playing and songwriting and whatever. And I'm thinking, how this thread weaves through how you meet these as an artist, other artists who have then these beautiful venues in other cities, and what a joy, what a treasure.
Cool. Was it just
to have experienced that show?
Was it just an evening with just Rufus?
Yeah. So he had an opener who was a young man, a Brooklyn singer-songwriter, and he was playing just as a duo. The other guy playing was more like synth keys. All electronic backing, right? But it was just a couple of keyboards up there on the stage. The opener then came out with Rufus to sing the Alleluia song, right? And like, there aren't many. That's the other thing. Rufus Wainwright is known for this cover of Alleluia, which obviously, you know,
beautiful,
is not his song.
There aren't many covers where I hear it and I'm like, oh, I'm so happy that that's
been done.
It's so beautiful.
Justice,
I can,
but you know, lives in its own feet, standing strong. Yeah. So it was a concert I'm not going to forget for sure.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we are going to play the aforementioned Tooth. You didn't hear about them. We saw them at Mohawk Place last night. They're jammy and kind of fun. You could listen to the track that we're going to play, but I don't have it ready yet, so no one gets to listen to it.
Oh, my God.
So, here's Stay Hungry by Tooth, live from Mohawk Place on November 17th, here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com. And that was Stay Hungry by Tooth, live at Mohawk Place on November 7th, here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com. And again, we are joined by Tim Merrill, co-manager of Woody Tarbox.
Hey guys, how's it going?
It's going great, Tim. Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
So,
Claps, too.
Oh, absolutely, he gets claps.
Maybe double.
He gets the long.
He's an invited guest. He gets the, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So So you used to kind of be a musician, but how long did you do that for before you kind of decided to shift focus more on kind of the background?
A few years when I was younger.
Sure.
Like my late teens, early 20s.
Oh, sure. So did you want to kind of do management for a while?
No, or? I kind of stumbled across that later in life.
Sure. Tell us how that happened.
All right. I started working in the industry as a photographer and writer. I worked mm-hmm. for New York State Music.
Oh, yeah, that's a great website. Yeah,
a couple other publications, and how I got to management really was I discovered Witty at a show, it must have been like mid-2016, early 2017, and I just really, like, appreciated their sound, you know?
Yeah.
It was definitely unique, something I felt like... like the masses would like enjoy.
Yeah, it checks a lot of boxes, definitely.
Definitely appealing to like many different genres. But I just sat down with them and told them I'd be willing to help them out, like help them get their sound like spread around, and it just kind of snowballed from there and into a management position. You know.
Awesome. So they were just like they were into you like helping out right from the start.
Yep. Definitely. I did a lot of photo work for them in the beginning, and like I said, just kind of evolved into where it's at today.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Not to go off on a tangent, but one tip I always tell people is just, you can just ask. And the worst thing that'll ever happen is someone just says no. Like, we got into Warped Tour last year just because you ask. And if
right.
you're interested in doing something like that, sometimes all you need to do is ask.
But that's interesting, too. So you approach the band more as a fan of their work than as a friend of a friend of a,
yep.
you know, it's not like you were dating someone in the band, anything goofy like that, where you're, you know, brought into it. Yeah.
Just being a fan of music, and I just really dug their sound. I just wanted to help get it out there.
Witty Tarbox is a how many piece band?
It started off as four. Within the last year, they added a fifth member playing saxophone.
Gotcha. Yeah. So how many brass components are there in that?
Just one.
Just the sax player.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Seems, you know, their sound feels like it could have been a big stage full of people.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, when Ryan.
Yes.
When Ryan shared the new album, the Schmitty album?
Origins of Schmitty.
Origins of Schmitty. So why is it called Origins of Schmitty?
Oh, man. Well, if you listen to the album from start to finish, it kind of tells a little bit of a story.
Yeah.
But as far as Schmitty goes, he kind of made a first appearance in the band's first music video, Past Blue Rhythm. And he's just this character who doesn't really exist, but he's also there at the same time, just kind of wreaking havoc.
Storied.
Yeah.
Legendary mythical
Fables
creature.
Fables of Schmitty. Origins of Schmitty. I also like the play on the Witty Schmitty. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, rolls right off the tongue.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so that was the album that was released at the Trelf? Is that where that album was?
Town Ballroom.
Town Ballroom.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, okay, so I have a waitress friend who works at the Trelf who was so excited about the Witty Tarbox album release at the ballroom that she brought half the restaurant with her and, you know, introduced people who weren't necessarily familiar with the band to the scene, and they all came back raving about, oh my God, have you heard this band? And
awesome.
So that's always a good thing to hear.
Definitely. It was a beautiful night.
Yeah, no. Everyone's general reaction to that was that they were pretty blown away.
Who else played on that album release?
Yeah, we had the Acid Cats open. They're based out of Akron, Ohio.
Okay.
Yeah, and Witty actually played their album release show this past July.
I love that cross-pollinating.
Absolutely.
That's good.
They'll be teaming up with the Acid Cats a couple more shows going into next year. So.
Yeah. So as far as touring and upcoming promo with this album, what is ahead for you?
Okay. Well, for the rest of the year, taking it kind of light. They're opening for Aqueous at the Ballroom for
New
Year's Eve. And
that'll be fun.
Without giving too much away, we've got a pretty packed 2020 already.
Yeah.
Going as far, like, deep into next year's October already.
Great.
Things are looking great.
So you said you're co-managing. Who is your other component here?
Her name is Jess Tarbox. That's Jess with one S. Is actually Cody's sister, the bass player, Cody Tarbox. And she joined the team, I would say, within the past, like, 6 months. And
so it's a family affair.
It is. It is. And her role is definitely evolving, too, and it's kind of evolved to the point where we're kind of co-managing right now. We're still trying to figure everything out, but just like anything that we do, it's a big family affair. We've got people behind the scenes that we're always working together, trying to be, like, the best, like, cohesive unit we can be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's awesome. Like a two-person management team like that's actually a really good idea.
She's more of the extrovert, and I'm more of the introvert. I like prefer to be like behind the scenes, and she's always out and about. Like,
sure.
She's a people person. You know?
It almost takes that. That's a
good absolutely.
To have that double side of the coin.
Definitely. Yeah.
So the podcast is called The Struggle is Real. Do you have any good Woody Tarbox horror stories for us? You don't have to name names, but you can if you want. I prefer it, but you know.
Throw them under the bus.
I'm going to keep it pretty PG. But leading up to the album release show, we probably spent at least like 40, 60, who knows, like probably 80 hours in this garage in Lancaster making all the props for the album release show. And we probably could have got the like work done in a matter of like maybe 8 hours, but get everyone together.
Oh, yeah.
You know, kind of get distracted.
What kind of props?
Yeah, give me a sense of the theatrics here.
Yeah, we made it was like a 10-foot cherry blossom tree from scratch.
Dude.
Wow.
Yeah, so like paper mache? What are you doing?
Yeah, it was paper mache, like actual like lumber base, and we made it work. And it was
beautiful. Pretty
beautiful.
That's amazing.
That's fantastic.
And we had a puppet show for the album release show, so we made the puppet like contraption from scratch, made the puppets ourselves. And
wow.
Yeah. Good for you guys.
So it was fun. Yeah.
So did you need like a puppet maker on staff then? That seems like there's some things you can just kind of figure out on your own, but there's some that
Google can help with anything.
I love the crafty and artisan take to the theatrics of it, rather than just having some digital, not that there isn't, you know, merit to digital art and everything, but rather than having things projected on a screen and you know, the analog approach to actually getting your hands dirty like that. That's great.
So we're going to take a break, sure. But we're going to play some Woody Tarbox in that break. It is called Foo Napoli. Is that how it's?
Phenopoly.
Phenopoly, okay. And in parentheses, it's Moving Pictures. We've actually played Moving Pictures on the podcast. I mean, and you're not the songwriter, but do you know why they decided on kind of reworking that song in particular for the new album?
Oh, it's just a continuation of the song.
All right.
Like the evolution of
it. It's really cool. Like, I just kind of listened to a lot of it for the first time today. And yeah, so here is Phoonopoly from the new Witty Tarbox album called Origins of Schmitty here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com.
When I followed it down to the bottom,
And we're back. And that was Funapoli here on the Struggler's Real Buffalo Music Podcast on All WNY. That was Witty Tarbox. We are back with Tim Merrill. Hey, Tim.
Hey.
So what kind of tips would you have for a manager? Like, as far as working with Witty Tarbox, is there anything kind of a little outside of the box that you found that works? That's kind of, you know, not just what you're going to see if you, you know, find an article about, like, five ways to promote your band. Do you have any secrets for us?
Yeah, I kind of learned from watching Twiddles come up, as far as, and also Aqueous has come up. Their managers are kind of hands on.
Aqueous is doing a great job.
Yeah, they are. They're killing it. So I try to be very hands on with the fan base. You know, the band has like a fan group on Facebook, and I try to be very active in there and stay like in tune with what like their fans actually want.
Sure.
It is almost a constant contact thing when people feel like they are not only a part of you know, the performances and then buying the merch, and but actually being involved in the process of, and when you talk about crafting the particulars for a show or whatever, and when you can involve your audience so, you know, timely with the production, it really does make it feel like it's theirs. Do you guys, I know a lot of bands are doing a lot with Patreon, a lot of different crowdfunding. Have you done that kind of thing with Witty Tarbox, or are you?
No, not yet. That's something we want to keep the option open, but it's kind of like the last ditch.
Sure.
Go.
Yeah.
But as far as we've definitely like played the idea with trying to get a van, because like up to date we're kind of just renting vans when we're on the road.
Right.
So it's not very cost effective.
Oh, absolutely not.
So that's something we're going to keep the option open, but.
So Origins of Schmitty is what album?
It's their debut album. They had a.
It's their first
EP.
Full. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Great.
Yep.
In the evolution of sound, have you, you know how everybody always asks, like, what does this band sound like, or who are their influences? Do you feel like their original sound is the same as it was? Like, when you found the band as a fan, how has it evolved since then?
It's definitely evolved a lot since Seth joined, playing saxophone, and it's added, like, a new layer for their sound, that's for sure. It's hard to like describe them, honestly. If I had to keep it simple, I would call them surf funk.
Who is the lead singer?
Lead singer would be Brian Williams.
His voice, to me, like the timbre of his voice, is almost like a Decemberist meets like a G Love or something. Like there's like a.
He reminds me of Tim DeLaughter from Polyphonic Spree and Tripping Daisy.
That's
I hear
true.
A little of that in there too when I listen
right?
to it.
And it's good energy.
That's kind of what hooked me, to be honest.
Cause, he's got it, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It's like you could get him up on a soapbox or something. Yeah.
Ooh. Prop
so as
idea.
As far as venues locally, does Witty Tarbox have a fave local Western New York venue?
Yeah, I would definitely say Buffalo Iron Works.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to talk about some big shows coming up there. They've got some great, great stuff coming up.
That's
in the
true.
Future.
We do.
So we got a couple more minutes with you. Before we leave, I saw a Facebook post that from, I don't know, maybe about a month ago that just kind of mentioned how I think you're 4 years sober now. Is that the...
4 years clean from heroin.
Heroin. So I don't know if you wanted to talk about that at all, how that kind of, I don't know.
Yeah.
how that works. Well, that's an open-ended question.
Yeah.
No, I just think that...
Please tell me how you know stuff happened and stuff.
To be in recovery of any kind of substance abuse and then to be in the music scene, obviously, it's kind of kid in a candy shop, you know?
It is.
Yeah.
Do you feel like your own personal, you know, history... I think it would give you great strength as far as your management abilities to be able to steer, you know, and see direction through struggle.
Right. Well, there's temptation everywhere. And as far as, like, recovery goes, like, we're all recovering from something, like, whether it's, like, substance abuse, like a breakup or, like, anything. You know, recovery is a very broad term. But as far as just being in the scene... It's been over 4 years, so it's in the rearview mirror. I try not to, like, stare back there, but I'll glance every once in a while just to know that everything's still in the past.
Sure.
You know, but recovery for me has been definitely a struggle. It's a process. It's always, like, changing on a daily basis, you know, like... but to touch on my story a little bit, I struggled with heroin addiction for 10 years. Tried to get clean for pretty much the majority of that time. And how I ended up getting clean was I relapsed after having some time clean, and my mom has a service dog. She's epileptic, so the dog's always with her, and I was staying with her at the time. And so I overdosed, and the dog found me in the middle of the night, alerted my mom, and my mom, being aware of my struggle, she was always, like, Narcan trained.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
They hit me twice with that, and it didn't bring me back. So they called 911, and you know how ambulances are, like, idle in parking lots when they're waiting for calls or something?
Yeah.
My mom's house, there's a church two doors down. And there happened to be an ambulance.
Oh, like, wow.
God, is that lucky.
Yeah, so they got to me in, like, under, like, a minute and brought me back. And I just, I don't know, I came back changed. That's, I don't know how else to explain
it. I can't imagine.
Feels like you're on bonus time.
Yeah, so I try not to waste any time, you know. Like, everything I'm working towards, put, like, pretty much all my effort.
Well, I commend your efforts, and I think that, you know, the band, obviously, with your help, has seen some... you know, success.
Drastic, yeah.
And that telling, you know, the guy 4 years ago that you'd be up to what you're up to.
I never would have thought. But if anyone out there is struggling, just know, like, a closed mouth doesn't get fed. You got to reach out, and there's people out there that want to help you.
Absolutely.
And your time, I saw someone post on Facebook who's younger than me. He's like, is my time passed? Is it over? It's like, no. I'm 37 and I'm, like, hitting act
You're
two.
You're so old, Ryan.
And act two is fucking awesome so far. So, like there's always, you can always come back. You can always do more. It's never lost. There's never, there are some things.
You can make fun of that semicolon tattoo shit, but there's a lot of that that's real in the sense of it, right?
Absolutely. So yeah, cool. Well, Tim, thank you for coming on and talking with us. Appreciate it. That is Tim. We are going to play, we're going to talk about Passed Out in the next segment. So we are going to play a song from them. We are going to play And In Doing So from Passed Out here on the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com.
Even further into the depths of winter.
right. Do we have like a, like one of those like boxer bells, like the ding, ding, ding?
You're putting me on the spot, man.
You have a shotgun.
What do I got? What do I got? I got a bomb. You want to drop the bomb?
Let's drop a bomb. All right, we need a drop for this segment. This is the encore segment again. There's gonna be, like an encore.
We can smash some dishes.
Encore.
Like if we're in a.
There we go. Encore. I'm gonna break some more shit.
Yes.
All right.
Breaking hearts. Every day, all day.
I'm gonna collect myself here for a second.
All right.
All right.
Getting ready.
Dudes, get your shit together. Oof. I have seen more men acting poorly towards women in the last 3 months working in music than I feel like I've seen in the rest of my life.
Mm.
Dudes, fucking cut it out. So, like, here's some fun examples. A man approaches a professional-ish woman amongst the scene who's finishing a business degree and says, "Hey, want to come watch me shred at open mic? I want to buy your cute ass a drink." Cassidy, is there any age for you in which that line would ever have worked?
No.
Elaney?
Oh, no. He sounds nerdy almost. Like, why would you?
Yeah, okay.
Why don't you just say hi or something?
Wait, was this normal? Said on the internet or
this Facebook? This was a Facebook message.
That's what I'm saying. No one would ever say that to a woman face to face, right?
It's an open mic for crying out loud. Like, it's not a legit show.
So when said woman decided on just blocking and ignoring this person, you think, oh, that's over with.
Yeah.
Then he went on to a different Facebook page so he could personally attack her for being a bitch because she's not more appreciative.
Of his interest?
Yes.
Why should she have any obligation to be?
She doesn't.
Someone just no.
So dudes, fucking cut it out.
Creepy.
Yes, it's creepy. It makes things hard for it sucks for everyone all around.
So like as a dude, you never get women who are that outrageously forward. Yeah, like in your day. I'm not saying you're not a handsome young man now, but I mean you're a married man. You have a lovely wife.
Yes, I do.
And
hi, honey.
I'm just talking about you know in your day.
I'm not gonna lie, it was pretty easy to get me on a date back in the day.
Yeah, how do we reverse these? I can't even imagine it the other way around.
No, I can't. I can't even. I love my college. It was like 11% guys, so there was women around, so I didn't really have to do any of that stuff. Nice. But if you're gonna be like, I want to hit on a woman who I don't even know wants to be hit on Facebook. Like, figure out what works and doesn't work. Because eventually, like, the lines you use when you're 16 to try and get a woman to come out make you sound like a fucking asshole when you're 26. And I feel terrible about the women who have to put up with this shit. One woman was posting and mentioned how apparently whenever someone wants to buy a ticket for one of her band shows and she delivers a ticket, that makes the men feel like that's like an open, that they now have an opportunity to ask her out on a date. Aww. And they have the opportunity to be really fucking upset about it if she says no.
Oh, because they're there as her date personally?
No, like
because
she sold them
the ticket.
When she goes to the house to like sell them the ticket, they're right. Like, hey, so wanna hang out and I don't know, I'm not there.
Right.
So that's not even creepy anymore. That just makes it like makes you look like a terrible person.
Well, Elaney, as a performing woman musician, you know, and as an attractive young lady, I'm sure that you could find yourself in that scenario where you invite someone to your show and they take it as a personal. Oh, she's
yeah.
Anonymous.
Oh yeah.
Been there before.
Oh yeah.
I've already been there before, and honestly, at this point,
we had some stuff at Mohawk Place last night where.
Oh, yeah. You bore witness to this.
Yeah. There was some creepiness going on. Some vibes.
It makes you feel like you're trapped. You know, being in a show, it's already like a rough time because you have to like mentally prepare yourself to play on stage. You have to get all your gear in there. You have to make sure you're there on time. Make everybody have their pre-show tickets. It does not help when someone is watching you the whole time.
Well, you have to gauge the creep factor, right?
Mm-hmm. But then you don't want to go anywhere by yourself because then you're being watched, and it just makes you feel like, oh my god, I don't get like raped or something today. Like,
I think as a musician, that's even harder because obviously you're promoting yourself, but to what degree are you, you know, to be.
You're putting yourself out there and then.
Mm-hmm. And people are taking advantage of that in the wrong way.
Absolutely. Ugh. So, dudes, cut it out. We can saw that say together on three. One, two, three. Dudes, cut it out. See? Okay, so see, like so these are what you're hearing from women, gentlemen. It doesn't fucking work. Get your shit together. Try something a little more effective here.
Or just be normal for crying out.
Oh my God. Hey, look at that.
Messaging someone on Facebook like, hey, watch me shred an open mic. You've never even met them.
How about you ask them questions about their interests and the things about them that I...
Or what happened to meeting people through your friends and common meeting? Like, am I that old?
I met my wife on MySpace, so I'm older than that old. It worked for you at least.
Fashion, man. If someone, honestly, you want to come up to me in person maybe and say something stupid because you want to, you know, make
sarcasm impression. Sarcasm and tongue-in-cheekness works
that
better
and goes over
perfect
so much,
like in person.
Yourself in person. Be, you know,
at least you can laugh at that a little bit.
That's cute.
So, but like it makes all the women uncomfortable, and that sucks.
Well,
and
it's that next step too. It's the once you say no, I'm not interested, that you get that like, well, then you're a bitch or
absolutely
X, Y, and Z name calling. There's a lot of name calling in
there. Absolutely.
And I hate to bring this up, but like, I was looking through my like filtered messages on my Facebook a few weeks back.
Oh, don't scare me.
And there have been multiple guys. I'm not even kidding. Three that are saying, "Where are you located? Like, what are you doing? How are you? Why aren't you responding to me? Oh my gosh, you're such a bitch. Why aren't you responding?"
It's like chat. Oh my God.
You should be responding to your fans. And I'm like, dude, like, this is my personal Facebook. Don't ask me where I am. That's creepy.
That is so creepy.
Within like a month.
They
play the "you hate me" game.
Yeah, they're like, "Why do you hate me?" And I'm like, "I don't even know you, gosh."
Oh my God. Dudes, cut it out. So it's hard. I feel terrible for what you women have to go through, but even from like my standpoint, like, I've always like working with singer-songwriters. I like the way the female voice kind of hits my brain a little better, and I've always wanted to work with female singer-songwriters.
You're so sensitive.
Yeah.
You throw sad voice concerts.
I'm known to cry time to time. It's okay. But like, for the longest time, anytime I'd approach a woman, she'd immediately like defense shields like up like tenfold.
Sure.
And you know, I get less of that now because I've been told I'm non-threatening since I'm married, which is adorable, I guess. I'm just like a puppy who's gonna nip at your ankles, which I mean, it's great, but like in the past, like that wasn't the case. And like, I'd approach someone and be like, "I want to make music with you," and it was instantly like, "Oh, defense!
Like,
you're a predator."
What do you really want? Right.
Yeah, exactly. So it makes things hard on everyone. So that's why, you know, men need to be just as diligent about this as women, because it ruins everything for just everything.
Well, I'd like to do the clap one more time to commend your efforts as a man for standing up for.
I'm trying. I can't stand this shit. And the more I see it, the more it pisses me off.
Ryan, honestly, a few months ago, I dated a guy, and he messaged me originally about working with me, like with music with me, and then ever since then, it just made it so much worse. Because then they try to date you, they get into your music life, and then like it just kind of.
Oh man, dudes, cut it out. All right, folks, it's time to go.
Aww.
Aww.
That was sad.
So, that is all we have for episode 44. You can check out Witty Tarbox on December 31st at Town Ballroom with Aqueous. It's going to be a great show. Thanks for Tim Merrill for coming on and joining us and telling his great story. It was really inspirational to hear that, I think.
I think it is.
So, check us out next time on episode 45. We will be joined by local singer, songwriter, and actress Sydney Flanagan. We'll talk about her experience in the Buffalo music scene and her upcoming movie Never Rarely Sometimes Always, which I believe is like premiering at like the Cannes Film Festival or like one of the like the big festivals, so that's a big deal. We're also going to be discussing the staff's picks for the All WNY Music Awards, and I'm hoping we will finally have some live audio from our live episode back on October 4th at Milky's.
And be sure in the meantime to check allwny.com and the AllWNY app, where you can check out all of the great stream of local music as well as other podcasts, including The Skeleton Closet with Carl Winslow and The Think So Joe Show,
hosted by Karina DeFabio and Scooty Potato Runs,
and The Big Picture with Michael Sargent, where you can learn how to create beautiful tones in impeachment orange.
My favorite color. All right, folks, that's all we have. The scene is chaos. Please be kind. Thanks, and keep struggling.